What a special day today is, of course, in Christendom. If you name the name of Christ and you call yourself a Christian, this is Resurrection Sunday or Easter. And we're so happy that you're with us today, either in person or possibly online. And if you were here for the Good Friday service, I had mentioned in the beginning and also at the end that really the account of the crucifixion and the account of the resurrection are eternally interwoven, cannot separate them. And so really, this morning is part two. And hopefully you know the account of part one. And if you don't, I'm sure we'll touch on that today. We're going to look at the resurrection account in the Gospel of Luke, the same portion or same chapter, or at least the end of chapter 23. We'll now be starting chapter 24 for the resurrection. And although this account is listed in all the Gospels, we will look at it through the lens of the Gospel of Luke. Let me just read this to you to start. There was an article. This is dated April 13, 2017, by Simon Turpin. Had to do with the BBC, if you're familiar with them. It says, a recent survey commissioned by the BBC suggests that a quarter of people who describe themselves as Christians in Great Britain do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. For secular media organizations like the BBC, these statistics are apparently meant to be meaningful. But if a quarter of Christians in Great Britain do not believe in the resurrection, then guess what? They were not Christians to begin with. As Scripture makes it clear, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is in vain, futile. You are still in your sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 16 through 17. With that in mind, we pick up on Sunday, the first day of the week, much like today. Christ was crucified, suffered brutally. We learned at the Good Friday service that we get the word excruciating from the suffering of the crucifixion that Christ endured. But here comes the hope. Here comes the hope. And before we get into the text, I just want to remind you, there can be no resurrection without a crucifixion. And what was true for Christ is true for you and I still today. Without a crucifixion, there is no resurrection. That means if you have not died to self, if you have not given up your will, if you have not embraced the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and the Lord has not taken residence in you, well, there can be no resurrection. There could be no hope of eternal glory. And with that in mind, we start part two, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, upon the first day of the week, this is Luke chapter 24, that being Sunday. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher or the grave, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Now, let me just pause there for a moment, because this was not any ordinary stone. And I mentioned this on Friday. If you're wondering what the size of this stone would be, it would be anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 pounds. This is not something any human could possibly move. This would like trying to move almost a Mack truck. This could not be done simply in human effort. Verse 3, and they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed. They're confused, wondering what happened. Thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Imagine the scene. The women, certainly, if not exclusively the women who are mentioned later on in this passage, have come very early in the morning, perhaps not to be seen, to anoint the body or to bring spices that had been prepared for the anointed body. And they expect to see a large stone, thousands of pounds, in front of this grave, the sepulcher, and it's rolled away. What must be going through their mind? Probably you and I would be in a much similar state of mind. They were confused. They were perplexed, the scriptures say. And two men, as we know, these are angels. Why? They stood by them in shining garments. Verse 5, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? See, it took angels to ask this very profound question. And this angelic question then is still true today for the masses and even those who claim the name of Christ. So many people are searching for the purpose of life. What will fulfill them? Why are they here? The scriptures tell us God has set eternity in the hearts of men. They continue to search for life amongst the dead or dead things. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, sex in the wrong context, pornography, gambling, wealth, building bigger barns, losing yourself in another person, a hobby, a position of power, all are dead. They're all dead things. Eternally speaking, if you're seeking those things, I ask you the question today. Why do you search for the living amongst the dead? That's the question to behold today. That's a question to think about, to ponder today. Listen to what 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 instructs us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man or woman, that counts for, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What is the world by definition? Well, in the Greek it'd be cosmos, but what is meant here when John says this, inspired by the Holy Spirit? That's the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, which, although hollow and frail and fleeting, stir desire, seduce from God, and are obstacles to the cause of Christ. You see, the people that came to the tomb, the women that ran to the tomb, they had forgotten. They had forgotten what Christ had said. It's interesting, when you look at Luke chapter 18, I'm going to read to you what Christ had said. It says, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of God shall be accomplished. He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, spit on. They will scourge him, put him to death. But on the third day, he shall rise again. And then it says something very interesting. It says the disciples didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't understand it. Christ was telling them, I am going to suffer in no unclear terms. It's black and white. The Son of Man must suffer terribly, but he's going to rise again. What happens to us? What happens to us when we start searching for dead things as Christians? It's very interesting, you know, everyone, we always remember annually Good Friday. We must. And there was a spirit, I believe, of reverence here on Friday, which there should be, when you reflect and remember upon the suffering of Christ. And today, there should be a spirit of hope and joy and victory. But what about Saturday? What about Saturday? What happened with Saturday? What happened with the day in between? It says at the end, to backtrack for a moment, the last verse, as I only read it on Friday, says, after Christ was crucified, they returned and prepared spices, this is verse 56 of chapter 23, and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, they might have physically rested, but they had no peace of mind. They had no peace of mind when they were resting because they forgot what Christ had told them. They forgot that Christ said the Son of Man must suffer, he must be scourged, and he must be spit on, but he will rise again on the third day. So as they were resting, just obeying the law as they were always used to, their mind was racing. They had no hope. They're just like you and me. They're no different. They're just humans. They forgot what Christ told them. They forgot. And oh, so quickly, they forgot. Yes. They witnessed the crucified Christ, but they ought to have been awaiting the resurrected Christ. Isn't that like us? And what happens when we get in a state of mind where we panic and we doubt and we're perplexed? We start to search for dead things. We start to search for dead things. We try to fulfill when you can't be fulfilled if you know Christ. I had an interesting talk with a pastor friend of mine yesterday. He said, you know, all these people, and he said, well, not all these people, but a number of people, he said, they're starting to come out of the woodworks and talk about their struggle with alcohol. Didn't surprise me. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. These disciples, these women, they had forgotten. And they started to lose their peace. See, you could be following the law and have no peace of mind. You could be following the law and have no joy. You could be fooling a lot of people, but you can't fool God. He knows your inner man. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles, your trials, your hardships, your loss. And I must tell you today, the only answer for all of those things I just mentioned are the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucified and resurrected Christ. He's the only one that could grant you life eternal. He's the only one that can stop the perplexion, the wondering, the confusion. He's the only one. He's the only one that can give you peace that passes human understanding. The only one. And so, as we go to verse 6, the angels continue to speak. He is not here, but is risen. Remember. Remember. Again, the theme keeps coming up for this body. Spencerport Bible keeps coming up in Scripture. Remember. It took angels to say, remember. Remember what Christ said? Remember when he sat with you and broke bread with you? Remember how you felt? Do you remember the first time you came to realization that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God? Do you remember that? He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. What did they do? And they remembered his words. They remembered his words. That's what we need to do. Why do we gather on Sundays? To remember his words. Why do you gather on Wednesdays? Why do you gather for Sunday school? Why do you gather with other groups of Christians in your home or out for coffee to remember his words? Why? Because you get perplexed. Because we have a lot of Saturday Christians, just like you and I, people that in between the crucifixion forget about the resurrection, that the victory is in Christ. Hell is defeated. Death is defeated. Sin is defeated. Christ conquered the grave. Don't be stuck on Saturday. Look to Sunday. The resurrected Christ, he is not here, the angels say. He is risen. The victory now is here for you. I know this for a fact, and I'll tell you how I know it. You have struggles, like I do. I know it for a fact. Well, we just read about the disciples. I'm sure they were stronger followers of Christ. They actually witnessed, they walked with Christ. You have struggles. Even on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, some of you are struggling with things. You're struggling with alcohol. You're struggling with maybe even drug use. You're struggling with some of the things I mentioned. Maybe something no one else knows about, not even your spouse. And right now you're thinking, as your heart is racing, how does this guy know this? I don't. God does. You see, part of the work of the Holy Spirit that came after the resurrected Christ was to convict the world of sin. Conviction's a good thing. It will cause you to repent, to have a change of mind about who God is. Will cause godly sorrow that will work repentance. Godly sorrow will do that. That's what will work that repentance in. You can't do it on your own. Did you know that? You can't do it on your own? Some of you that maybe, let's just use for example, don't be condemned by this. Let's say smoking cigarettes, okay? Those of you who quit probably give all the glory to God for quitting. Because it's very, very hard to do on your own strength. Some can never do it. Actually, they smoke all the way to their grave because of the power that the nicotine has. How about those of you that maybe were an alcoholic? How about those of you that were adulterers? How did you overcome? How are you an overcomer? By the crucified and the resurrected Christ, by the power that's in that work. They're inseparable. You see, if there's no crucifixion, there's no power. Why? Because the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to those who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. Without the resurrection, there's no hope. We just read it. But if there be no resurrection, the Apostle Paul says, of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching, my preaching, and your faith also is in vain. Why are we here today? We'd be hopeless. But that's not the case. I believe with all my heart that Christ has risen. Therefore, I have hope. See, you know that Jesus is a dealer? The hope dealer. That's what he is. As other people deal cards and deal drugs and deal, Jesus deals hope. He gives hope out. Last night, we were on Monroe Avenue. It was our first outreach of the year, and we're out there at night. And toward the end of the evening, we're only out there for about 90 minutes. There was a man who came up to our little table. I asked him his name. He said, Kevin. He had a black eye here. Looked like he's been through the mill. I said, can I pray for you? He said, nah. I said, there's hope. He said, no. I gave up on hope a long time ago. Not true. See, that's a lie. There's always hope in Christ. Christ never quits on you, ever. Never quit. There is always hope in Christ. He is the object of your confidence. That's what hope is. No one is hopeless. No one. There's not a soul walking around today that's hopeless. Why? Because Christ is a hope dealer. He is the blessed hope. That's why. So as I put my hand over his heart, I just prayed for him, that he would believe in the one that gives hope eternal. And so, as we remember, they were remembering. Verse 9, they returned from the grave, the sepulcher, and told all these things to the 11, that's the 11 disciples, except for Judas Iscariot, of course, and to all the rest. Verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales. Just empty tales. This is foolishness. You see? That's someone who doesn't know the power of the cross. That's somebody who doesn't have hope in the resurrected Christ. Just idle tales, and these were disciples. Why did? Well, first of all, women didn't really have credibility back then as witnesses. But apart from that, they forgot. They were losing hope. This is just foolishness. But Jesus told you what happened. This is just foolishness. But you see that the person who claims Christ has transformed, you knew them before. They're different now. Why don't they run with the same crowd? Why aren't they doing what they used to because of Christ? You have evidence, but you refuse to bow your knee. It's just an idle tale to you that Christ was crucified and resurrected on the third day. Just seemed as idle tales, and they didn't believe. And here comes Peter. Then arose Peter, and notice he ran. He didn't just walk. It's his personality. Then arose Peter, and he ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed. Well, what did he do? Wondering. Departed wondering in himself, what has just happened? Jesus, he just walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He said, Simon, son of Jonah, who do men say that I am? I say you are the Christ, the Son of God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And now he's like, what's going on here? He forgot. He's stuck in Saturday. He's forgotten. What's going on here? Where's Jesus? Exactly where he told you he would be. Maybe you're asking the question, where's Jesus in my life? Exactly where he told you he would be. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. His hand is extended to you. His arms are open wide for you. His ear is inclined unto you. He's just waiting. He's just waiting. Wondering in himself, what has just happened? I mean, look at this. The women first come in verse 4. They're perplexed that the stone is rolled away, even though they were told of this prophecy by Jesus, said what was going to happen. The disciples are told about what just happened after the women witnessed it. They believe it was an idle tale. Then Peter runs to the tomb, sees the grave linen, and he's wondering what happened. Doesn't that sound like you and me? You forget who God is so easily? That's why we're here. To encourage you today. To remind you today that God is still on the throne, that Christ is risen, that there is hope. I'm not going to quit on hope. I don't believe it's finished. I'm not going to quit. There's testimony after testimony after testimony of those that have been written off. And did you know that's who Christ loves to resurrect more than anyone? Why? He gets all the glory for it. Lazarus, come forth. but it's been 4 days. Lazarus, come forth, but he stinks. Lazarus, come forth. He is the resurrection and the life. Everything else is dead. Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Dead gods, dead religion, dead works, dead things. Don't search for the living God amongst dead things. I just want to read a few more verses. I didn't plan on this, but I think it's appropriate. It says, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs, 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near, and he went with them. Okay? This is post-crucifixion. This is Sunday. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They had a veil over their eyes, so to speak. Just like that veil we talked about, that no man could rip, but God ripped from top to bottom, allowing entrance into the Holy of Holies. You and I, covenant relationship with God, upon faith and hope in the resurrected Christ. Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Do you see the connection here? These guys are walking. They know all about Christ. One of them is named Cleopas, we found out later on. They're sad. Peter is wandering. The disciples think it's idle tales. The women are perplexed. Christ is alive. Christ is risen. That's our hope. It's not an idle tale. You shouldn't be perplexed. You shouldn't be wondering anymore. You should not be sad. Christ is alive. Christ is the King of glory. And he's just waiting for you. Isn't it a beautiful thing about our Lord? The scriptures tell us in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, then the judgment. You know what I find one of the most gracious things about my God? He doesn't let us know that when that time is. Could you imagine if he did, how perplexed we'd be? How much we'd be wondering? He never lets us know. You know, a doctor might tell you have this much time, but Dr. Jesus has the final say. A doctor may tell you whatever they want to tell you, but there's so many times a doctor might just look at you and say, you know what? I don't know. The stone is rolled away. I have no explanation for it. I don't know. It's just grave cloths that are there. I don't know how to explain it. It's a miracle. It's a supernatural act of God. God is a God of miracles. How can you say that? Look at you. If you know Christ, look at you. You say, what about you? Well, look at me. I know who I was. I know what I'm capable of apart from Christ. A lot of dead things. Miracle. Supernatural divine act of God. That's what it is. A lot of miracles took place here in this passage. It says in Matthew that an earthquake came and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone, sat on it, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. That's the account in Matthew of this. That's a miracle. Well, what does man do? He lies. Matthew 28:12-15. And when they were assembled together with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers to say that Jesus' body was stolen by the disciples. See, man will lie to you. Man will lie to you. You're in a battle for your soul. The God of this world has blinded those who don't believe. They will tell you it's some other way. They'll say, I believe in the crucifixion, but I don't believe in the resurrection. Oh, I believe in the resurrection, but I don't believe in the crucifixion. They're interwoven. They're inseparable. You cannot deny the cross. If you deny the cross, you deny the power of God unto salvation. If you deny the resurrection, you have no hope. You will not be resurrected. Eternity is in the balance. Every person sitting in a red chair today, every person watching online, every person who lives in one of those continents on the map back there, eternity is on the line. It's appointed unto men once to die. You probably know someone within your own circle recently that has passed, maybe unexpectedly. I've said this before, there's nothing more sobering than that. But today is a day of life. Today is a day of victory. Today is a day where we remember that hope lives, our blessed hope. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is the reason for this season and every season. Well, let me just end with this. Belief in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is central to the Christian confession of faith. To deny it is to deny the faith. But in a culture that is basically Greek, just like Corinthians were, and evolutionary in its thinking, it should not surprise us that many people reject the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection has always been something that Greek-thinking people have been philosophically opposed to and see as foolishness. I pray that's not you today. I pray you're not perplexed. I pray you don't believe these are just idle tales. I pray you're not really wondering about really what happened we just told you today. You heard it from the Holy Scriptures. I pray you're not sad, because if you are, God can take away that spirit of mourning for a garment of praise. You have no reason to be sad. No reason. If you're going to mourn, remember what Jesus said, Good Friday? Don't weep for me. Don't weep for me, daughters of Jerusalem. Weep for those who are going to have children, because you have no idea what's going to befall upon you. And I echo that today. If you're going to be sad about anything today, stop being sad about what's going on in the world scene. Start being sad about those who don't know Christ, and weep for them and mourn for them and pray for them, because they have no idea what's coming if they pass into eternity apart from the resurrected Christ. Amen? You have that hope. We have that hope. God is good all the time. He's worthy to be praised. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were sinners, that means we missed the mark, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death. That's what you get for sin. But the gift of God freely is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the good news today on Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is risen. Amen? Father, we thank you for this opportunity today. Lord, as we remember your words, they're not idle tales. There were over 500 eyewitnesses. Over 500. Seen of the 12. Seen of Cephas. Seen of James. Eyewitnesses. Lord, we have miracles all around us today in transformed lives that bear witness of this resurrected Christ. People that were radically lost. People that were in the bondage of such dead things. And you set them free. You said you came to set the captive free, to give sight to the blind. Lord, you are good. You are worthy to be praised. I want to pray a blessing over each person in this house today, the house of the Lord. I pray that if there's any that maybe really still, they don't believe, would you open up their eyes as you did with those two men on the road to Emmaus? When you broke the bread, their eyes were opened. Their heart burned within them, and they realized who it was that was walking alongside them. It was Christ, the hope of glory. I pray if there's any person who has not experienced Christ today, to really know you, today would be the day of salvation. Thank you for each precious soul that does know you. Pray blessing over them as we celebrate with family and friends and break bread together. Pray that we are able to laugh and have joy. No more sadness. There's no reason for it. We have hope. Hope lives. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, the resurrected Christ. And all of God's beautiful family said, Amen. Amen.